Well, we give you credit just to get in the building without freezing, and we thank the Lord. As Everett said, we have so much to be thankful for, just to be able to enjoy this warm building, and beyond that, to enjoy warm fellowship. And may the Lord continue to enhance that, bless that. May we be a people who love the Lord together and love one another. We thank the Lord for what measure we have of that, and we know His desire is that will continue to grow and increase. So, we're here together, and we just need the Lord's help, and let's just ask Him. God, we're here this morning. We thank You that You are here with us. It's an amazing thing to think of a sovereign God overall, who cares for each one of us personally. That is beyond our comprehension. But we thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for Your grace toward us. We thank You that your Son, the Lord Jesus, has died for us. We pray if there's anyone here that's never put their faith in Him, that this will be that day. What a wonderful way to start a new year. With a new life. And Father, we come and we know we need Your help. We're weak and frail, and we just ask that by Your power, in Your Spirit, You will accomplish Your will in our lives right now. In Christ's name, amen. Think of all the time somebody says, "Put your seatbelt on," right? You go on a plane, and they say, "Put your seatbelt on." And if you're sitting in your chair, and they say, "Now, if you're going to get up and go anywhere, when you come back, put your seatbelt on," right? And you know, people say, "Oh, seatbelt, right?" And every once in a while, you hear there's turbulence, right? And they were really sad, those who didn't put their seatbelt on, right? You know, turbulence is an amazing thing. You need some protection. Now, I was thinking, real turbulence, I think, would be if you're taking up skydiving. Yeah, that would be turbulent. Yeah, one time I rode in a one of these little planes that didn't have a motor, and believe me, that was my last time. But anyway, I was thinking Jack should take up skydiving, don't you think? Yeah, and I want to be the first one to get you ready. I have got this helmet. This is my personal skydiving helmet, right? It's a little fluffy, but it is round. It is round. So don't you think, yeah, Jack, oh, man. He's the man. He wouldn't talk to me earlier. That's why we did this, right? Anyway, we're good friends. Now, I know it seems goofy. You think, well, why did I even come this morning, right? Now just think, if we were going to do skydiving, or we were going to play hockey, or we were going to do football, and I gave you this, go out there and get them! You said, you go out there yourself and get them, right? This is absolutely, a friend of mine, I think he was a friend, gave me this. I don't know why, right? That's the coolest thing. Yeah, I bet you want one of these, right? Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, he did. Okay, now just think. We're going to let him go skydiving, okay? Now, I want you to think about this. Are you ready for turbulence in this next year? There's always turbulence. And I know it comes in different shapes and sizes. It might be health issues. It might be financial issues. But we all have those turbulent things that are coming our way. Now, I want you to think in another zone that sometimes we're not quite ready for. And that is, are you prepared for the turbulence that false teaching brings? Now, we can think, well, the false teachers, you know, they're in that building over the hill somewhere, and they, you know, they're, you know what? We live in a world inundated with false teaching, false concepts, false ideas. We live in a culture that's run large measure by false ideas. Are we ready for the turbulence in this new year. Now, I'd like to, what we want to do is to get prepared. We want to be prepared. We've been working on Wednesday nights in the little book of Jude. And as I was thinking about what to share this day as we knocking on the door to go into a new year, it seemed that especially the portion that I want to look at is very appropriate for us entering into our new year. Now, in view of that, I'm going to give just a little bit of a set the stage, a little bit of a background. If you'll turn with me to Jude, this little teeny, teeny book right before Revelation. We need this book. We need the info. We need the insight. We need the edification. Now, I just want to give a quick little setup because we've been through some of this. But just so that we kind of know where we're all at. Now, Jude was a half-brother of the Lord Jesus. He was a brother of James, who was also a half-brother of the Lord Jesus. But it's interesting, when we knock on this front door of Jude, we says, Jude, verse 1, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? He wasn't waving the flag, you know, I was raised in Jesus' house, right? No. I'm a bondservant of the Lord Jesus, a bondservant. Jude was going to write a letter. And he said, well, let's just read then verse 3. Beloved, this little word comes up several times in Jude. And he's reminding the people, God loves you. I love you, God loves you. And you know what? We need that reminder, don't we? We need to know we're loved. And there's some people in the world nobody loves except God. But it's a wonderful thing to know we're loved. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, this is verse 3, this is what he was going to write, I felt the necessity, the absolute necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith. He said, I had this heavy burden. Obviously, the Spirit of God was overseeing, working in this situation, and he had this burden, this absolute necessity to write about something different than he originally was going to. And this was that he might contend for the faith that had been entrusted to the saints. Now, this book is written, a little book of Jude is written toward the end of the apostolic age. The majority of the New Testament is already given. And so the faith, in essence, has been given. The truth found in our Bibles was given. Now, it was this truth, this faith, and we call it the faith because God's truth is to be believed. That's really what we are to believe. Hold on to that truth. It's the faith. Believe it. So the faith is what we need to know and believe. And here we are to contend earnestly. Now, we get our word agonize from this Greek term. Agonize. It's obviously intense. And one writes, it's a strenuous struggle to overcome an opponent. Involved is the thought of expenditure of all one's energy in order to prevail. Now just think, if you were ever been in a, you know, maybe when you're high school or whatever, you know, you're in some kind of physical contest, some kind of athletic contest. I remember one time a coach, he threw me in with another friend of mine, and he had us go boxing at each other. Neither one of us knew anything about boxing, right? But one thing I learned really fast, you need to oxygen the box. I got so tired trying to not get hit, right? And so, you know, you're agonizing trying to win. I do not want to lose this, you know, I do not want to lose, and I do not want to get hit. But if you're in a contest that's really a big deal, let's say you're moving to some major competition, and you really, really, really want to win it, you have to give everything you got because your opponent wants to win as well. And we need to be willing to contend. As one writes, it means battling, warring, and struggling. I mean, Because the faith is so critical, it is so critical, we can't be wimpy about the way we handle it. We need to protect it, promote it. And let me say this, we need to pass it on. Now just think, for those of us, we think of our children and we think of our grandchildren. Do you want your children or your grandchildren not to know about eternal stuff? Do you care if your grandkids grow up with or without Christ? Does it make any difference? You see, what we're talking about is stuff that goes on beyond the grave into eternity. It makes all the difference. And we are a link in the chain to pass the truth on to them. We're a link. God has put us here at this time in history, not just to be a person wandering around in North America on the planet, but to be a person that intentionally knows the truth and passes the truth on to those who are coming behind us. They need us. God wants to use us, but we are to contend, not to be contentious, not to be gruff and nasty and all of that, but to care enough about the truth that we protect the truth. Many would be nonchalant about God's word. It's just reality. They might even ask us, well, what's the big deal? Why get so upset? Why be so, you know, over the top? Well, this is one reason to be over the top about protecting God's truth. Notice verse 4 of Jude. For certain persons, now this is the reason, for certain persons have crept in unnoticed. Now, did you just get that? They were not recognized for who they really were. They come in. They're just like all of us. They crept in. Those who long beforehand marked out for this condemnation. Whoa. They are going the wrong direction. Ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is probably referring back to a group known as the Gnostics. And we have some Gnosticism even today. You can find books on Gnosticism today. And they held various views. But one of the views that it comes to plant in this section of scripture, in their way of thinking, they could commit all kinds of evil in their bodies, but their spiritual life was just fine because they had this special spiritual knowledge. Gnosticism it comes off the Greek word gnosis, which means knowledge, and they felt they had super knowledge. And they had spiritual insight above everybody else. And that allowed them, they thought, because of our spiritual insights, we can just live any old way we want to live because we're so spiritual, it doesn't matter. And what they did, many of them lived lustful, godless lives and said, man, I got it all together spiritually. And they infiltrated the church. Some of them did. They were dangerous. They crept in. They were dangerous because people didn't see who they really were. You know, it's like you're going through a pasture, I remember walking through a pasture one time. I had to go across this area. If you were moving machinery like a tractor and a pickup, and a lot of times if you're all by yourself, you'd have to just take the tractor and implement over and then walk back and get your truck and then pull it back over. But I remember there's this one area and this one part that we worked on, and it was just filled. It was an old deserted prairie dog town, what we used to call it. Prairie dogs had dug all these holes, but then the rattlesnakes, they moved in. It was like a new hotel set up, right? And they were in there, and you were going through. You know what? I was always thankful for rattlers when they rattled, because you knew there was they were there. But if they didn't rattle, you could be in grave danger, because you don't know the danger. You don't know they're there. They're coiled up, ready to strike. You see, these false teachers were coiled up, ready to strike. And we need to be so careful, because even though we may not be dealing with the Gnostics, we are still dealing with false teachers. And what they would shoot out is venom. It is poisonous. It ruins people not only in time, but for eternity. And we want to be those who protect ourselves and our loved ones from those who teach lies. Now, that's why the first portion of Jude is the danger of false teachers. It goes from verse 3 to 16. And I just want you to note, if you turn with me to verse 12, again, just kind of an overview, but notice some of the characteristics of these teachers. And I'm just going to mention some of them. Verse 12, these are men who are hidden reefs in your love feast. Now, a love feast was, they included the breaking of bread, and then a lot of times they would have a meal after that. That was, they loved, you know, the love feast, love the Lord, love one another, have time together, have breaking of bread. But these came right in. They were in there. They were among. They were hidden. They were unidentified. People didn't think they were a false teacher. Well, this is my best friend. This is my buddy. Hidden reefs. What does a hidden reef do to a boat? What does it do to a ship? If you drive a ship over a hidden reef that is close to the surface and you don't identify it, you can ruin, you can destroy your ship. And a lot of Christians, a lot of dear people have had their lives destroyed by false thinking. These people are dangerous. These ideas are wrong. And notice, they are selfish, caring for themselves. They're self-consumed. That's really what drives them. And they're clouds without water, carried along by winds. They're deceptive. You know, if you live in a dry country like where I came from in western Kansas, I mean, you need moisture. And there wasn't a lot of moisture. And so when you see clouds building, man, you think, oh, man, hopefully it will rain. But these were like, you know, it gave you hope, but it was a false hope, because the clouds just passed right on without rain. They looked good initially, but they had nothing good to offer in the long run. Deceptive. Now, if you dropped your eyes down in verse 13, again, I'm just picking on several of these. They're wandering stars. I find wandering stars. You know, when you look out at night and you see the bright stars and a few, and this is probably referring to comets. But when you see out and you see a shooting, we call it a shooting star, right? You say, whoa, isn't that beautiful? That is awesome. It catches your attention, right? Well, they are like that. They really got your attention. They were bright. They looked like, man, this is great. That's what they were offering, wandering stars from whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. Believe me, they are going in the wrong direction. You don't want to go there. They are doomed. And also, they're discontent. If you drop your eyes down to verse 16, these grumblers finding fault, discontent. We'll talk a little more about that. Following their own lust, they're defiled. They are driven by their personal passions. Remember, they're selfish. It's all about them, really, although they don't tell you that on the front end. But it's all about them. And really what they want to do is satisfy their own passions, whether it's with finances or with immoral activity. But they're passionate about themselves. They're lustful. But on the front end, they don't tell you that. They don't put up an advertising banner. You know, I'm lustful. I'm all the things you don't want. No. They come across. They are in your love feast, hidden. And they're boastful. They speak arrogantly. Isn't it amazing A lot of times, if somebody has a big following, if you listen to what they say, they are so over the top confident. They are so sure they're right. And of course, that's what makes other people think, well, if he's so sure he's right, he must be right. And they're boastful. It's all about them. If you look at it, it all comes to center around them. Speak arrogantly. Now, this brings us, and again, just a few things to think about the danger. This brings us to our duty as believers. And we come to a needful reminder. Now, notice, drop your eyes down to verse 17. But you, beloved. Again, I love that. I love that he reminds them you're loved. In contrast to those who are contrary to the Lord, but you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken before him by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you, beloved, remember. Remember. We need to know God's word and remember God's word. Remember. It's not enough just to have read it. Maybe, you know, some people are brilliant. They're brilliant, and they read things, and they hold on to things. But a lot of times, when it comes to the nitty-gritty, to the real issues of life, the decisions of life, the problems of life, they don't remember what they need to know. Hold on to the truth. Plug it into your life. It's applicable. You need it. We all need it. Now, what do we need to remember? And then, in this, remember the words. Remember the words. What do we need to remember? Well, there's... In context of this passage, let's just think of several things we ought to be mindful of. I'm going to go back to Acts 20. This is one thing we need to be mindful of in the context of what we're studying in Jude. Acts 20, verse 28. I was talking to the elders, to a group of elders at Ephesus, Paul is, and he says this in Acts 20, 28. Be on guard for yourselves. Now, that's where it starts first. Guard our own hearts, our own thoughts. Be on guard for ourselves and for all the flock. And it's talking to leadership. They're to be on guard. Among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Verse 29. I know that after my departure, Paul's talking, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Savage wolves. Talking about people here. But they're like wolves because they destroy the flock. Verse 30, and from among your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Verse 31, therefore be on the alert, be on the alert, be on the alert. Be careful. Now, we could say many things, and actually we'll come back to this passage in a little bit. But think of another thing we need to remember. Another thing we need to remember. This is in 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 5. Again, in the context of what we're talking about in Jude, this is something we need to remember. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. For the time will come, and I think we can say it has come, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they want to hear what they want to hear, have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. A lot of times people are drawn because it's not so logically solid or it's not biblically supported, but it's just what I wanted to believe. And then it goes on to say, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. How many myths are people basing their lives on in our culture? Hearing what people want to hear instead of what is true. Now, let's think of one other passage that we need to remember. And this is 2 Peter 3, verses, and I'll just read verse 3. 2 Peter 3, verse 3. Know this, first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust. The mockers, last days, we're here, will come, mocking, following after their own lust. Now, this passage actually is the passage that Jude refers to. He's referring to another passage, and this is the passage he refers to in 2 Peter. The whole book of Jude, one states, is a warning a declaration and an appeal. God's people must understand his truth so that they cannot be mesmerized by erroneous teachers who are eloquent in speech and impressive in personality, but deadly in doctrine. It's not how someone says something. It's what they say. Now let's go back to Jude verse 18. In the last time, now notice this is referring back to 2 Peter, but Jude 1:18 states this: in the last time, there will be mockers who follow after their own ungodly lust. There will be mockers. Ultimately, they mock God and they mock his word. That can't be true. Referring to things in this Bible. The Bible's filled with myths, and that's one of them. The world would say that to us, right? They are mockers. And why? Because they have an agenda. They want to fulfill their own lusts, their own passions, their own greed, whatever it takes to get their pleasures met. Verse 19. These are the ones who cause divisions. Now, why do they cause divisions? Because they depart from God's word, and their lifestyle is contrary to God's word, and it causes a rift among genuine believers. And so there's division. That's one of the things that happens. Now, believe me, genuine believers can cause division as well. But in this context, we're talking about these false teachers. They cause divisions, worldly-minded, devoid of the Spirit. Their mind is wrapped around the things in the world, not the things of the Lord. Now, what is our response? What do we need to do? How do we, going back to that turbulence, what do we need to do to be ready to protect ourselves and protect the truth so we can pass it on to those we love? Well, let's look at our passage. And I want to go to verse 20. But you, beloved. Now again, isn't that great? Just reminds them, hey, God loves you. God loves you. You know, we need to know we're loved when there's conflict and tension and struggle. We need to remember God loves us. But what is really necessary to protect ourselves and the truth? We read verse 20. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Building up yourselves. Building up. The word, when used in the New Testament, it's used in a figurative way. Obviously, we think of building, and some of you who are carpenters and know all about construction, you know what it takes to have a building. But one thing, even a simple-minded man knows, you have to have a solid foundation. And the Lord Jesus Christ and his truth is the solid foundation. And we are to build up our lives on that foundation. You got a bad foundation, you're going to have a lousy house. Our building. And so we have a solid foundation, the Lord Jesus and his word, his truth, and we build up on that. This is what God calls us to do. Building up. Now notice this. Look at that. So it's interesting because it puts a very personal responsibility upon each of us. Building up yourselves. In other words, God wants us personally to take responsibility for our own spiritual development. Now, that doesn't mean other people can't help us. We need other people, right? We're in the body of Christ. We need other people. That's partly why we're all here, why we get together in groups and that type of thing. But we still cannot say, well, that person's responsible to make me grow. No, God holds us personally responsible to make sure we do things that will cause us to grow. And so build yourselves up in the most holy faith. It's very interesting, isn't it? Most holy. This holy means basically set apart. This, our faith, the truth that we stand on is most holy. In other words, it is set apart. It is God's truth. It is set apart by God, for God, and it is of God. And that our truth is His truth, and it is holy, it is precious. It is so valuable, and we should never take it lightly. You know, I think a lot of times, it's one of Satan's lies. You know, I mean, you know, you think people driving past a church building and on a Sunday and think, what a waste of time. Where do those people go on there? Let's go watch TV or something, right? Let's go to Walmart, right? That's something really valuable. I'm not making a statement on Walmart. But anyway, just think. What the world says, we're foolish, they're wise. You see, the world has so minimized the value of truth and God's truth. It's not holy to them. But God says, oh, no, no, no. We need this. We need this. And we are to build ourselves, and the version I'm reading from, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Excuse me, just a moment. We have the truth, and we are to build our lives upon the truth. On the truth. Now, how do we accomplish that? How do we actually build? How do we plug this into our lives, apply it, so it actually makes a difference? Well, let's. I said we mentioned Acts 20. I want to go back to Acts 20, and I want to read a following part on that. Remember, in Acts 20, 28, Paul said to the leadership, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock. And the reason he said that is because savage wolves, false teachers, are going to come in and they're going to decimate the flock. Now, so what do we do? What do we do? In verse 32, Acts 20, it says this, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. What is he saying? He says, hey, go to the word to build yourself up. Be on guard for yourselves. Yes, got to be alert. Be clear-headed. Think right. He commends us to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Personal growth. Becoming more and more what God wants us to be and what we want us to be comes through the book. Through the Word, through the Bible. Now, I know, isn't it amazing how the culture has got us, we're going in circles. Think how busy, just think how busy Christmas has been, right? Think, I need a break, right? I love Christmas, but I need a break. We're so busy, and then we go, and then we step right into January, and we're thinking, oh man, I'm already behind. And so we're so busy. I don't have time. You know, I just really don't have time for this. I don't got time. I got assignments. I got workloads. I got family situations. I just don't got time. And none of us are going to have time, right? That's the way the world system is designed. Satan has got us so wrapped up in making, you know, all these things happen, and many of them, you know, some of them are important. I understand that. But if we don't have any time for this, you know what's happening? We're not being built up. We're not growing. We're just recycling. You know, this year, this new year, can be much like it was last year if there's not more of this in our life. We don't want to recycle. We can't afford to recycle. If nothing else, life is too short. We want to build ourselves up. We want to become more and more what God created us to be, saved us to be. But we need to be built up. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith. One writes, we live amidst false teachers who promote all kinds of ideologies, philosophies, and religions, and every ism imaginable. Since we are surrounded by so many counterfeits, it is essential to reinforce our faith. When we saturate our minds with scripture principles, we develop a filter that allows us to discern truth from error. Now, what will you do this year? Now, let's just think really, really practical. What will you do this year to fortify your faith? What will you do? Now, none of us are exempt. I mean, I need to ask myself the same question. What am I going to do to fortify and to prepare for turbulence? Because I know it's coming. It's not like, well, maybe it will hit. No, it's here. What are we going to do? Well, let me just give you several possibilities. There's a Bible reading chart, and there's a few on the back at the door. You know, you might say, you know what? I haven't been reading through the Bible. I need to pick a chart like that and start doing that. Now, another thing back there, and I'm thankful for that, our daily bread. That's a great way to just say, okay, I'm going to absorb some of God's thoughts. And then, and people who have given biblical thoughts, and it helps me just keep my mind, get my mind going, getting thinking in the right thoughts. And then there's also on our chapel link, it's called the Daily Radio Bible. And a man there reads through the Bible. If you find it kind of hard to read, or you just don't like to read very well, he reads through the Bible, makes a few comments. It's a great way to just take in God's Word. Now, also, you know, and I know many get guilty when you mention this, but what about your personal time with the Lord? What about your personal time? Now, obviously, you might do some of these things in your personal time. And I know it's busy. I know when the morning comes, you think, man, I've got 55 things to do. But we need, one of those 55 things needs to be, I need to cut time out for God, to spend time with Him, to draw near to Him. You know, it may be in the morning, it may be in the midday, it may be in the evening, but we need time to spend time with Him in His Word. Maybe this year, Mike mentioned the Bible study some of the men are having. That might be something that would draw you in and say, man, I really want to be a part of that. Maybe you say, you know, I've got a book of the Bible I've really been thinking about. For some reason the Lord keeps nudging me. I want to soak in this book this year. And so you say, you know, sometimes it's not reading through long sections, but it's just soaking in a portion that you feel like I need this in my life. And of course, getting together like this. You know, just taking in the truth. Not only in this, but in others, the women's ministries, all of the different options and opportunities. But we need to take in God's truth, because turbulence is already here. Hey, just think. Think of people that you know that used to go to church. Think of people that you know that when they were young, they loved to go to youth group. They loved to go to youth group. And now they don't have a clue where a church building is. Right? It's a write-off. They've written it off their life. Well, if you're not building yourself up, you are setting yourself up. Don't do it. Take in God's word and become the person God wants you to be. Just a little side note, that will be the happiest journey you can take. Because God's will for you is for your best. So we need to build ourselves up. Now notice this next one, as it gives a little list of things. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Jude, verse 20, praying in the Holy Spirit. One writes, our greatest resource is God Himself. We secure His help through prayer. Remember, you probably have this memorized. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Be anxious for nothing. Boy, there's tons of stuff to be anxious about. Every time, you know, anxiety starts to well up, it's a good time to pray. Pray. We need, God, help me get through this. Help me deal with this. Give me wisdom on this. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. And it says, praying in the Holy Spirit. You know what? Why is it so hard to pray? Because it's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual war. And we need the Spirit of God to just empower us to pray. And to be dependent on the Spirit of God to pray. To pray effectively, powerfully, dependently. Verse 3, keeping ourselves in the love of God. Did you see that? That's an interesting statement. Verse 21, keeping yourselves in the love of God. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. How do you keep yourself in the love of God? Well, God loves us, right? God loves all of us. And once, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you've received the Lord Jesus, and he's come into your life, you've actually received his love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. When you receive, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. When you believe on him, trust in Christ, you then have received the love that is for you. But you know what? We walk through the Christian life, and if we allow sin to muck us up, mess us up, mess with our mind. If we allow that to happen, we don't enjoy God's love. You can be saved, but you're not enjoying God's love. You know, you're walking through life, you're stumbling through life, you're angry at life, and God says, no, 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 don't block up my love. Enjoy my love. How do I enjoy love? Well, I want to just give a few verses. This is in John 15. It says this, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Did you hear that? John 15, 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Why? Why is that true? When I'm in tune with the Lord, I'm obeying the Lord, I'm staying in fellowship with the Lord, I'm enjoying the benefits of his love. That's why a lot of Christians are so frustrated with life, because they're not enjoying God's love. They're not in fellowship with God. They're not obeying God. And they think, well, man, if the Christian life was what it's supposed to be, I'd be happy. Well, if you were obeying the Lord, you'd be happy. Right? And how do we obey him? We're such wimpy people. We're so weak. The Lord Jesus said in the same passage in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Zippo. But when we draw, we stay close to the Lord Jesus, we draw on his strength, we then can obey his will. And so as we obey him by drawing on his strength, we enjoy God's love. You see, building up and protecting ourselves from false teaching is not just knowing it. When I was in seminary, I knew some guys, I met some guys, they were amazing. They were amazing in their intellect and their ability to hold on to truth. Amazing! But you know what? It is not enough to know it. You have to live it. And that's what it's saying. Stay in the love of God. Live the truth. And then this last area, as it talks to us, waiting expectantly for the Lord to come. Notice what it says. Waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Waiting expectantly. Excited. You know, it's like the little kid. And just a little kid at Christmas time, right? Says, can I get up yet? Can I get up yet? No, it's only 11 o'clock. You cannot get up. There's a whole night ahead of us. And then they wake up 15 minutes later. Is it time? Is it time? You know what? We should be asking that about, is the Lord coming? Is it time? Is it time? We should be anticipating, expecting. This is awesome. And notice that is when we will sense the fullness of his mercy. Waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes to take his kids home, it is just God's mercy. Somebody just said this morning, right before service, you know, when we think what we are, isn't it amazing that God cares about us? Isn't it amazing? I mean, really, you don't have to tell anybody, but you know, you think, when I know me like I know me, it's amazing that he's coming for me. And you say, his mercy. And notice this. Then we will experience the fullness of eternal life, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. If you have trusted Christ, your personal Savior, you have eternal life. He who believes in the Son has life. You have it right now. But you don't have the fullness of it yet. You don't know all the full benefits of it yet. When he comes for us, whoa! We will know by in his mercy, we will know the fullness of eternal life. It's not just an unending existence, it's the fullness of that existence. The fullness of life. And we're anticipating, we're like the little kid, is it time to get up? Is it time to get up? And he's coming for us. We should be looking ahead. You see, when we're anticipating, we're looking for him. You know what? It helps us stay on track better. Because we think of life according to right priorities. We don't just get lost in the mundane. We don't get lost in just the details. We are thinking about the big issues. And we're remembering, he's coming. He's coming. And I want to be prepared when he comes. I don't want to be embarrassed when he shows up. And so waiting expectantly for the Lord's coming. Okay, are we going to be ready? Are we going to be prepared? What are we going to do? Well, this passage reminds us, building up through the word of the Lord. Building up, taking it in, taking it in. Praying in the power of the Lord. I need to pray. I need to pray a lot more than I do. I need to say, God, I need you. God, when I'm walking down the sidewalk, God, I need you. When I'm driving to work, God, I need you. Praying in the power of the Lord and then obeying the will of the Lord. Staying tight with the Lord. Enjoying his love. It's not enough to know it. I have to live it. And then waiting for the return of the Lord. I'm waiting. I'm excited. You know what? You think, when we see those of you who are interested in prophecy and you think of all, you know, 2018 might be the year, right? It could be. I mean, you think, how much more has to get ready? I mean, I'm not saying, because I don't know. The Lord tells us, don't set a date. Don't set a date. Not setting a date. But you know what? I'm waiting. We should be excited. And when we think of these things, this is preparing us. It is protecting us. Now, let me just ask you, what will you choose? What are you going to do this year? Will we be wise or careless? Will we be safe or sorry? God wants us to be prepared. And he wants us to protect the truth. As we protect the truth, we protect ourselves. As we protect ourselves, we protect the generations that come behind us. I know you love your kids and your grandkids. May we really love them by building ourselves up, by praying in the power of the Lord, by obeying the Lord, and by waiting for the return of the Lord. Let's just pray. God, we're just about ready to step into a new year. It's kind of over. I can't even believe it, really, that this year just flown by. But we're entering into a new one. Maybe we need to make some changes from 17 as we move into 18. Maybe we need to say, God, I need to stay tight with you. I need to stay in your word more. God, in your strength, by your power, help me be consistent with you in your word. Maybe that's what we need to do today. For some of us, it's to pray more faithfully and consistently and steadily. God, for all of us, we need to obey more consistently. God, help us follow, stay tight with you, obey you. And then, Father, help all of us wait excitedly for your return. God, we are of all the people on the planet are the most blessed because we know the Son. Father, again we ask, if anyone here doesn't know the Son, they might receive the Son and live a new year in a totally new way. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.